What's that at the bottom? 188?
There we go. Okay, 188.
188 at the bottom, 102 on top.
Oh, yes.
Okay, what Al Tareb is explaining over here is just like there's a body and soul in everything, there's a body and soul in intent. And he says, with this word, we're in the middle of it, and last thing, it was 2 weeks ago when we stopped. He says like this, even in kavana of doing a mitzvah, the intent of a mitzvah, it could be one of two ways. It could be a meditated type of kavana. That means you really think about it, what the mitzvah is you're doing and what you're accomplishing with the mitzvah and the intent of the mitzvah. That is called the person type of kavana. Because what's the uniqueness of a person is the intellect, the seichel. So when you have intent, there comes some intellect, that's called medaber. That's called the person kavana. Now Dr. Rebbe is explaining though, sometimes you don't do that. Sometimes you have natural, instinctive kavana of doing a mitzvah. Most Jews, with all due respect to most Jews, 99.99999% of Jews, you ask them, why do you do a mitzvah? Because this is what we're supposed to do. To say they love it, like they love physical pleasures, they don't. If you have the kavana of meditation, you actually can develop a love of Hashem, like you love, like you enjoy food, the exact same way you'll enjoy doing a mitzvah. You'll enjoy recreation, whatever it may be. Physically, you enjoy it. That's the same. But that already is only caused through deep intellect. Through deep intellectual understanding, that's the way you create that. What happens if you do it naturally, instinctive? People today, you put on tefillin, you bench licht, you keep Shabbos, kosher, to say, I love it like I love who knows what. No, it's the natural, instinctive, so to speak, instinctive way of love of Hashem that we have that we do a mitzvah with. Like that's what it is. He says that is called the animal kavana. In other words, just like you said before, there's, remember, daimon semechai medaber, inanimate plant, animal and human. So he said the action of a mitzvah is the inanimate. Speech of a mitzvah, that's called the animal, the plant. Then he says, now you have the neshama of the mitzvah. That's the kavon of the mitzvah. That you can also have. You can have it chai, or you can have it medaber. You can have a chai is when you do a mitzvah instinctively, because this is what your habit is, this is what you're taught to do, and we do it. Or you can have the intellectual kavana, but that already takes a lot of work. Understanding what you accomplish when you do a mitzvah. Okay, and just to explain this a little bit deeper, but based on what Al Tareb said before, and what Al Tareb is going to explain much more later on in later chapters in Tanya. We learned already in the various parakim here that we're learning, the whole universe, was created bidvar Hashem, one word of God's mouth. Okay? When Hashem said, Bereshis bara lekim, everything in the world was created. All the other nine utterances just put everything into place. When Hashem said, Bereshis bara lekim, everything became created. Okay? Now, obviously, Hashem does not have a mouth. Whoever says Hashem has a mouth, the Rambam says you're an apikaitis. Because God doesn't have a mouth. It says in the Chumash, God said, and God spoke. So what does it mean? So it means the Torah speaks in human terms. In other words, for us to understand what does it mean that Hashem spoke, doesn't mean Hashem spoke like we speak. Hashem doesn't have a mouth. Understanding what speech is by us, we can understand the concept of speech by Hashem. What does it mean? What is speech? Speech by a person is revealing a concealed thought. Right? You think and you speak. The difference between thinking and speaking, thinking is only I know what I think. You don't know what I think. When I reveal that to you, I speak it. So, conceptually, what is speech? Speech is the revelation of something hidden. That's what speech is. The concept of speech. Yeah, we speak, you know. But a kid, when he cries, also speaks. Because it's a revelation of something that's inside that you don't know. When they cry, you know something's bothering them. When it says in Chumash, Vayomer Elokim, like we said, it doesn't mean God has a mouth. It means like this. God has an ability to create light. To create light. Vayomer Elokim, He art. Okay? Hashem has an ability, a power to create light. But that power was hidden. Vayomer Elokim, God said, meaning, i.e., God revealed the power that He has to create light, and light became created. But not Chas V'Shalom that Hashem has a mouth. Hashem revealed, speech is revelation. Hashem revealed the power that He has to create light, and light became created. Now, but the Torah still uses the word speech. So the second analogy of speech compared to Hashem is like this. A person's koach hadibur, the person's ability to speak, is infinite. The ability, the power of speech, is infinite. What's the problem? We live 120 years, if you're lucky. We live 120 years. 120 years is X amount of seconds. It takes a second, let's say, to say a word. So realistically, we can only speak X amount of words. But when we speak, our power of speech doesn't get less because it's infinite. The power of speech that we have is infinite. Realistically, we can only speak X amount of words because we live a finite amount of time. But the power of speech is infinite. Okay? Now, Hashem created the world with one word. Compare one word by a person compared to the power of speech is one to infinite, which is mamish nothing. Yeah? But there's something above speech is thought. If you compare one word to the power of thought, it's even more nothing. Above thought are seven emotional traits. Above the seven emotional traits are the three intellectual traits. Chochma, Binah, and Das. Above that is willpower. Above that, so if you compare one word to the essence of the person, it's like a billion times nothing. Infinite times nothing. Even comparing one word to the power of speech that we have is one to infinite. If you're taking it to thought, and to emotions, and to intellect, and to the essence of the person, as it's in Yiddish, it's garnish me garnish. It's nothing. Okay? Now just picture this for a second. The whole universe, not Earth. Earth is enough. Trust me. The whole universe is one word from God's mouth. So you can imagine how nothing the universe is in comparison to Hashem. It's one word compared to all these infinite powers of Hashem. Right? When a Jew does a mitzvah, a lousy little mitzvah, you know, you connect yourself to the essence of God. Not to the universe, not to, you connect a mitzvah, you do mitzvah means connection, binding. A Jew does a mitzvah, it connects them to the essence of Hashem. Now, picture, for every mitzvah you do, you get $1 million. So every mitzvah you do, you're going to be excited. Right? Every mitzvah you do, you're going to be excited because you're going to love it physically. But $1 million, you're talking about a billionth of a word. It's not even one word. She says, how can a person arouse within themselves a love to do a mitzvah? But it's not going to come from one-time thinking. When a person meditates and meditates and re-meditates and works on themselves to understand that the whole world is one word from Hashem, and every little mitzvah connects it to the essence of Hashem. Okay? Or as Alter Rebbe says, and Danya said it before, I think, that picture, there's a great king, right? A powerful king that everybody loves. Okay? And the king has millions and millions of people in his kingdom. And the king says, you know, tonight I'm coming to your house. You can imagine the excitement. From all the people in the world, he picked me. Right? And he's coming to me. He says, can you imagine? A Jew does a mitzvah. You become one with Hashem, like the analogy. The king leaves everybody in the universe and comes to you. And becomes one with you. So you can imagine, he says, the simcha that a person could arouse within themselves of doing a mitzvah. Physical enjoyment of doing a mitzvah. Obviously, it takes a lot of work. That is the kavana that's called the human kavana. Because that's stimulated by intellect. And if it's stimulated by intellect, that's uniquely human. What's the uniqueness of a person? Ata chaynen la'adam das. That we have das, seichel, free choice, that's uniquely human. He says, a kavana, intent of doing a mitzvah, that comes from intellectual understanding of the relationship that we create with Hashem when we do a mitzvah, he said, that is called the human kavana. Then you have what most people do. 99.9, like we said. What? You do a mitzvah? Yeah, you love Hashem? Of course I love Hashem. Do you love ice cream more? Probably. You know? Do you love chocolate or money more? Probably. You know? But you love Hashem, but that's instinctive. That's natural. That's not humanly developed. It's the natural instinctive love. That's the way animals work. Animals run on instinct, not on seichel. That's called the chai of kavana. That's the animal kavana. It's kavana, it's the intent of the mitzvah. I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do it, and I'm doing it. But it's not the intellectual kavana, it's the animalistic kavana. And it's nowhere near the same level. Completely different. Let's see where we should start now, inside. Yeah, okay, start 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines in the top of the page. He's thinking now about the instinctive kavana, and he says, Uba kavana zu, with this kavana, hosur meira, he turns away from evil, va'asei tev, and does good. And he davens, he knows what the words mean, and he says, you know, he has kavana what the words mean. But without fear and love, openly in the heart, meaning he doesn't have this feeling of open, you know, love and fear of Hashem. It's just naturally instinctive. Such intent is k'mei nishma sachar, like the neshama of an animal, sheina bal seichel u'bechira. It doesn't have free choice or intellect. V'chol midaysav, shein yirasei midvarim amazikin aysei. His fear is from things that are going to hurt him. What is an animal afraid of? Animal instinctively, right, is dictated by fear and love. It's dictated fear of those things that are going to hurt him. But that's only tivium etzli. That's only natural. And not from his intellect. He said that in kavana, it's kavana, but it's not really great. I mean, halavai, we should have that kavana. It should also be enough. But he says, realistically, it's not the real level of a person. So it is exact same way. The natural instinctive love and fear that a Jew has, Hamastutaris Belevko Yisrael, which is hidden within the heart of a Jew. Ki Yerushalayim Me'aviseinu, because it's inheritance. In other words, like he explained before in Tanya, you're Jewish, you automatically have love and fear of Hashem in you. It's given over from Avram Avinu, from Yitzchak, and from Yaakov, those three. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov instilled in every Jew for all generations love and fear of Hashem. Natural, instinctive. And like we said, as I mentioned the other time, somebody once told the Rebbe, I don't believe in God. So the Rebbe said to him, the fact that you say you don't believe in God doesn't take away from the fact that you do. Denying it doesn't take away the reality that you do. Every Jew believes. You saying you don't? That doesn't change the fact. The fact is you believe. If somebody said, I don't love or fear God, that's not true. Naturally, you're Jewish. Instinctively, you have this fear and love of God because it's inheritance. And inheritance you get whether you like it or not. You can scream from today till tomorrow, I'm not Jewish, I don't want to be Jewish, I hate Jewish. Nothing. It doesn't take away from the fact that you're Jewish. And if you're Jewish, you have automatically this love and fear of Hashem. But it's not worked on. It's naturally instinctive. It's not what you accomplished. If it's not what you accomplished, it's called animal rather than human. When a person utilizes their intellect to choose right from wrong, and how to choose to use the intellect to stimulate emotions and feelings in an open way, that's called human. A citizen says a very interesting thing. When a person acts like an animal, not only are they as bad as an animal, they're even worse than an animal. Because an animal doesn't know better. An animal is what it is. A person should know better. And they act like an animal, they're worse than the animal. Because they're supposed to have seichel, to be able to understand better. They don't, they're worse than the animal. Because animals don't know any better. What do you want them to do? What they are, they are. The way they're created, that's what they are. A person's born a Jew, you got it, whether you like it or not. Even converts, by the way, have it also be Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. They have all the natural, instinctive love and fear.
Before they converted or after?
No, after they converted. But before they converted, they had...
They had to have something.
Something, yeah. It says in the Medrash that all neshamas were present in Matan Torah and Har Sinai, even the neshamas of all future converts. I'm talking about halacha converts, not Mickey Mouse. Halacha converts were all present at the time the Torah was given. And therefore it says, I mentioned this many times in the classes, the Chidah says, and Rabbi brings out this Chidah very often. If you look in the Gemara has very interesting expressions. A sick person became healed. A prisoner that became freed. Okay? In such examples. When it comes to a convert, what should the expression be? A goy who converts. Goy shen is gayer. Never in Gemara is there an expression goy shen is gayer. It always says ger shen is gayer. A convert who converts. So the Chidah asks, one minute, that doesn't make sense. It should say Goyshin is Gayer. Sick, healthy, prisoner free, Goy becomes a Jew. What do you mean? A convert becomes a Jew? So the Chidah says, and he proves it from other places also, you see from there, that a real Goy doesn't convert. A person who converts is because they always had a Yiddish and a Shaman. What does it mean? So it says in Kabbalah, that when Adam Rishon sinned in the Eitz Hadas, the original sin, a lot of neshamas of Jews got lost amongst the goyim. Got lost amongst the goyim. And all the Jewish neshamas, but they got lost amongst the goyim. And therefore, when a person converts, a guy doesn't convert. It's one of those lost souls that were always Jewish. For whatever reason it is, Hashem sent them amongst the goyim. Okay? They come back. They're not Jewish until they go through the actual conversion. Because they weren't born to Jewish parents. To Jewish mother. But it's not a goy who converts. A real goy will not convert. And therefore, the halacha is, when a goy comes to convert, or a ger comes to convert, rather, you try to dissuade him. Right? You try to talk him out of it. He says in halacha, once you see they're serious, you're not allowed to push him away anymore. The only pushing away is to see if they're real or not. Once you see they're real, you're not allowed to push him away anymore. Because this is a neshama that's really Yiddish and neshama. They're at Matan Teda. They're part of other Medishin. So, the Gerim have this instinctive thing also. The Gerim. The Gerim. If it's a halacha conversion. So they also have this instinctive, natural thing. But the person's goal is, what Hashem wants from us, is to reveal it to a human form, a human level, rather than an animal level of instinctive. It's like in any relationship, you have instinctive relationships, but that's not enough to have a relationship. It has to be processed, it has to be cultivated, it has to plant it and cultivate it and grow it more and prune it and take care. Take growing things in the field, you have to plant it. There's a seed, you know, that's meeting and then falling in love, but then it's not enough. That's bava meisis, right? That's only for the purpose of cultivating it more, and that demands a lot of work. But then it creates into a, not an instinctive relationship, but an open relationship. It's much different than one that's just instinctive. Shem says you could be instinctively Jewish. That's fine. You know, it's great. It makes you 100% Jewish, but it's not what Hashem really wants for. He says your people, be a person, not an animal. Work on it, cultivate it, grow it, and the more you realize, it's like, the more you realize the greatness of God, the more humbled you become from knowing how much even more there is. It's like, in Torah, the more you learn, the less you know. What do I mean, the less you know? The more you learn, the more you see how little you know compared to what there is. Like this, talking to the guy in the street. Okay, what's there to know about Yiddishkeit? 10 minutes, I'll take a crash course. I'll know everything about Yiddishkeit. I know everything. You know, once you start learning, you see 1 minute, there's much more. And the more you learn, the more you know, the more humbled you are by the realization of how much, much more there is to know. And that's what Hashem wants us to grow. And this is the primarily the whole concept of davening. As a climax to build up through the various parts of davening, to build up to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, to love God, b'chol levavcha, even with the Yetzer Hara. To love Hashem, not only in a natural, instinctive way, but in a human way, through intellect and, you know, creating and stimulating feelings and revealing the feelings. That's the ultimate level. It ain't easy, but that's what Hashem. Okay.